All right, so welcome everyone. Today is day number 20 of our Corona Healing Miracle Circles. And so tomorrow will be our last day, and we'll talk more about ways to continue this connection, some ideas I've been getting, and I've been open to, you know, ideas you might have. So today, it was interesting. I was connecting with a friend of mine. We went to medical school together. So I've known her since we were like 18, 19. So, you know, we're talking easily 30 years. And my friend is a medical doctor. So she's an internist. So I just connected with her because she was one of the friends that I sort of hadn't connected. And whenever I visit, she lives in the city, in Long Island, actually. So whenever I visit, we always connect. And so I was wondering how, you know, how she's doing. And she said, yeah, I'm still working outpatient. And I don't think it's that busy. A lot of people are not going, right, to see doctors. You know, they're just staying home, telemedicine, all that. But she volunteered herself to work in a COVID testing center on Saturdays. And she put herself on backup for the hospital. So if the hospital needed more doctors, and she said, one of my colleagues have already been called to Long Island Jewish, you know, one of the hospitals in Long Island. And my friend, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that she would do that. She's actually single. She never married. She, you know, doesn't have kids, but she's like the aunt and the godmother to like dozens and dozens of kids, even my son. You know, she always manages to know when their birthdays are and send something for Christmas and send something for the Chinese New Year. You know, she's of Chinese origin. And she's so giving and so caring. And she really she's always seen the whole world as her family, which many of us are getting that awareness, right, with this whole thing. But she's kind of lived that way. I remember when she bought her house and the housing market, it was like where my parents live, the houses are really, really expensive. And she's like, yeah, I don't see the point of spending all that money because I always want to have a reserve of money in case friends and family need my help. You know? And I thought, wow, like who thinks that way? You know, like, you know, not just thinking about herself, but you know, already like, oh, if someone needed it, I want to feel like I have that. And that's just been her way. You know, she just always is thinking of others. Like she'll say, I'll go shopping, Seema, I'll pick up something. I'll get 10 of those because I think someone else might need it. You know, she'll just, and sure enough, you know, it'll be a gift or something she'll share. So, so when she came to the country, she came from Vietnam and it was like, as refugees on a boat and, you know, just her family could come, her parents couldn't come. And so she didn't really see her parents for like 6-7 years. And somehow they just managed, you know, so she's seen all of these extreme conditions that many might be first experiencing now. So she's a real warrior, you know, a warrior. And yet in being a warrior, she hasn't closed her heart. You know, her heart has remained open. And that's what's so beautiful. You know, that's just so beautiful about her. So I was thinking about her and I'm like, yeah, I'm glad, you know, you're doing well. And she said, you know, I get your emails and it's so nice to read your emails. I can't come to the calls, but you know, reading the emails really helps me. And it's funny because when I was doing these groups, you know, to do the emails every day, and I would wonder like, Spirit, like, why do it every day? Like I could just send out the recording, you know, just put it on. But something would be like, no, just write. And I kind of had a sense that some would be too busy to listen, you know, some may just listen a little bit, you know, maybe they just want the meditation and so the writing. And so I feel like she was like that confirmation that I was listening, you know, just that, just getting that email was a way for me to kind of just, you know, send some of this like uplifting, you know, just uplifting. I don't even want to say positive, but just to uplift her and to support her. So I was thinking about her and then I was thinking about the other doctors and everyone, what they might be facing. And I remembered something David Hoffmeister had said to me many, many years ago and something he uses in his teachings. And he talked about situational healing and that you really can't ask for situational healing. And I never really quite understood what he was saying because I would be like, well, you have a situation and it needs healing, right? Here's this this seeming situation, and so I want healing here. But it really struck me, because it goes along with hypothetical thinking. So it really struck me, it came home, because I felt like, okay, I could ask for healing in one situation, but then what about this situation? And then if I ask for healing there, then what about this one? Then what about this one, right? And so it just gets like too much. And that's what we're feeling, right? In medicine, they're just feeling too many bodies, too many needs, not enough this, not enough that, all of that. You can feel that. So what occurred to me, and I was in prayer, I was asking, you know, Spirit, like, help me with this. Because I was like, you know, you're asking to be a miracle worker, and you're asking for us to, you know, give us your mind. So my mind is yours, my life is yours, everything is yours. What is needed here? You know, what is it for me that there can be healing, right? So again, I was kind of in the outer, right? But Spirit meets you where you are. It's always beautiful. Spirit always meets you where you are. And the answers always surprise me, because they're never the ones I think, you know? And I think this helped me to understand this, to be lifted above that situational. And I immediately got this experience of this deep, deep stillness. And what came to my mind were the mountains that Mary and I, when we were in the Utah retreat together in August, and it was my first time going to the monastery, Living Miracles Monastery. And as much as I, you know, took pictures with people, we did that, I must have taken like, you know, 100 times more picture of the mountains, because I just couldn't get enough. I just couldn't get enough. There was just something about the mountains that just kept drawing me and drawing me. And it was that solid stillness, like that pristine, like just pin drop silence, like just quiet and so solid. And, you know, in our, in the yoga, like if you do hatha yoga, one of the main postures that is the mountain pose, you know, Tadasana. And it's just basically standing, right? It looks like, what kind of pose is that? Like, that's nothing. You know, what does that mean? But I remember when I would teach it to children, and I would teach it to adults, and it was the pose of like, find your center. You know, where is your stability? Find that groundedness, you know, like connect to the earth. Where are your feet? Where are your knees in relation to your feet? Where are your hips? Where is your chest? Where are your shoulders? Where, just like, you know, the sense of like alignment. And kids would love it, because I'd say, who can stay still the longest? You know, who's going to stay still? You know, no moving, no, who can stay still? So that mountain image kept coming to my mind, that stillness. And it was such that whatever I had been thinking about, whatever situational concerns, just left the mind. It was gone. And so it was palpable. It was like, you are being grounded, and this groundedness is like the center is taking you all the way down to the center of the earth. Like, there is no way you're going to move from here. There is no way you're going to be allowed to, you know, topple or fall. Like, you're so secure. And the other thought that came to me is Kathy is on the call, and Graham, kind of what both of you had shared. Graham had shared this experience about his daughter and him being a Reiki master teacher, and him wanting to have that others in his family have been affected by the COVID, but he was most concerned about his daughter and him just wanting prayers, you know, Reiki energy. And then doing that on Facebook, and then somehow feeling, no, that doesn't feel right. I want Reiki for everyone, you know? So like immediately that expansion, right? That expansion happening, not that this situation, but just expanding. And then Kathy shared her beautiful experience, which started with an email about my brother, you know, this one situation, seemingly separate body that is experiencing this stuff, and there's fear around this and what's going to happen, and can you pray? And as we joined, and this joining was in mind, because she and I never even had a conversation. It was one email, maybe one or two emails, you know, so it was this joining in mind that she experienced this her heart opening for like the suffering of the whole, you know, that this isn't just about this one situation, right? Again, it's not a situational healing. It's this expansion. So, in the olden times, there's this beautiful story from in the Buddhist tradition where a woman comes to the Buddha because she knows he's a wise man and he's a healer and he can cure anything. She's learned. She's a village woman. She doesn't know more than that, but, you know, she has that faith. And her son has passed away, and she brings him and says, you know, can you heal? And he says, yeah, I can help you. And she's like, yeah, okay, wonderful. And he says, she says, go find a mustard seed and bring it to me. And a mustard seed is very easy to find. It's very common in cooking, you know, in that culture, in our culture, not hard to find. So she's like, yeah, I can find it. But no, find it from a house where there's been no death, where someone has not lost anyone. And so she knocks on doors upon doors upon door, you know, searching, and there's no one. There's no one that has not had that experience. And that experience awakens her again out of the suffering of one, out of the losing of that which is temporary of the body, into I want to devote my life to understand the eternal. And she becomes his student. You know, she becomes a student of the Buddha. So as I was sitting with that, you know, what was coming was the lesson about I rest in God. That was the lesson that came to mind. And it's lesson 109. And I believe that lesson, and then there was another section I was guided to go to. It's chapter 18, section 8, The Little Garden. And they both speak to this rest. So today, I feel like is a day of rest, you know, for us to like rest in this magnitude. To bring that mind that, you know, doesn't know better, you know, just doesn't know better, that wants to be helpful, but gets caught up in the outer stuff and the outer forms and form-based solutions. And like, it's like looking like this, right? It's looking at this thing. Like if I look like that, I can't see all of you, right? I can't see all of you. So, you know, like that limited tunnel vision into the mountains. You know, if you stand by a mountain, I believe many of us had that experience. Whatever problems you have seem to be very tiny. You know, they just get very, very tiny. And you look at this mountain and you feel like, mountain, you've been here forever. And my experience of forever, even if it's limited. And you were here before I came, and you're going to be here after I go. And there's a part of me that was here before I came, and a part of me that stays after I go. You know, with the Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, that which is not born, never dies, you know, unborn, undying. Now it feels like, wow, these are true teachings. These are true teachings spoken by those, the wise, to guide us, to console us, to strengthen us, to fortify us. And we can like take them in, you know, we can just drink them in. We don't even have to like understand here, you know, but like that experience is given. And in the experience, whatever is needed, you know, the lessons, the conversations, everything is given. So I'm going to read a little bit from here, because there's a beautiful section of how this really relates, that when I rest, I can invite all my brothers and sisters to come and rest with me. You know, like my friend reading that email, perhaps it gave her that little sense of rest. You know, you're taken care of, you're provided. And that rest she can take, and then it's shared. So we are really getting into quantum healing. I really feel that, because the body cannot travel places. The body cannot visit, you know, even, right? Even our friends and neighbors, right? We're not doing too much of that, but the mind is free. The mind has no shackles. The mind is, it does not need to be imprisoned. And the mind doesn't also have to be used in that adrenaline way that the mind can be used, which is, you know, put out one fire, oops, there's another one, put out that fire, oops, there's another one, put out, right? Instead of that way, the mind can be in that mountain, you know, stability space and allowed, I can be at rest. So let me read a little bit here. So this is lesson, can you still all hear me? Okay, great. So this is lesson 109, I rest in God. We ask for rest today and quietness unshaken by the world's appearances. We ask for peace and stillness in the midst of all the turmoil born of clashing dreams. We ask for safety and for happiness, although we seem to look on danger and on sorrow. And we have the thought that will answer our asking with what we request. I rest in God. This thought will bring you to the rest and quiet, peace and stillness, and the safety and the happiness you seek. I rest in God. This thought has the power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances to that same truth in everyone and everything there is. Here is the end of suffering for all the world and everyone who ever came and yet will come to linger for a while. And then this is really beautiful. So I'm just kind of skipping here. Each hour that you take your rest today, so usually the course will tell us, you know, do this every hour for a few minutes every hour to remember this. Each hour that you take your rest today, a tired mind is suddenly made glad. A bird with broken wings begins to sing. A stream long dry begins to flow again. The world is born again each time you rest, and hourly remember that you came to bring the peace of God into the world that it might take its rest along with you. So it's so beautiful that the rest that we experience here is being shared in ways that we cannot understand, in ways that sometimes we may never understand. But, you know, every now and then we might get that, like my friend saying, oh, thank you for the emails. You know, I feel it. Because it's not just the email, it's the love, the energy of everyone, right? It's all there. So this is truly quantum healing. This is truly, as my friend David, I remember when my dad was going through, hold on one second. Can you all still hear me? Yeah? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to pause.